This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi everyone, this is Fat Mascara. I'm Jen Sullivan, you know me. Today's guest co-host, you may or may not know, it all depends on how long you've been listening to the podcast. We have one, Miss Tiffany Suknandin. That's right, intern Tiff, which I can't even call her that anymore. She's the marketing manager for Dr. Idris, the skincare line now. But if you remember her, yeah, you might remember her as intern Tiff. She worked with Jess and I when she was a student at FIT. So I don't think she needs much more introduction than that. Let's just get into the episode. Tiffany Suknandin, welcome. Welcome back to Fat Mascara.
I feel like an honorary Fat Mascara girl.
You are. You are OG Tiff, our intern from Days Lore. I'm so excited to hang out with you guys. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Tiffany and I have not gotten together in a while. So while this is your regularly scheduled Fat Mascara news program, I'm also going to use this as a chance to catch up with you.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we're just going to jump right in then because it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's so funny because you interned in the more or less the beauty industry because you were our intern at Fat Mascara. Now for like 3 years, 4 years, you've been working in the beauty industry. I'm like, what did we get wrong? Did we misprepare you for the back end of the beauty industry?
Oh my God. So first of all, I can't believe it's been that long. I missed the listeners. So exciting to be here. So it's kind of crazy that for me, jumping into the beauty industry was jumping into a startup brand. And it was exactly what I wanted. Like, I remember being in college and all of my peers wanting to be at, like, you know, the L'Oreal's and the Estee Lauder's. And I just wanted to help build something from the ground up that actually had purpose. And at the time, it was like, you know, and still true today, that a brand is launching every other week. And it just feels like anyone can enter the beauty industry with any purpose. And that felt so right at the time. I remember you introducing me to Dr. Idris. And I was like, this is going to be a success. And I could already tell. So being a part of that for the last 4 years now, and we're actually as a brand only 2 years old. So I was working on the back end of launching that for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we launched in September of 2022. And now in 2024, we're at Sephora. So it's been like a ride up here.
Oh, yeah. She just recently launched in Sephora and you've been like on board for the whole trajectory.
Exactly. So all of my beauty experience is here, which is crazy to say, but I've learned so much in-house and being here and from you guys and us still having contact today and doing things like this, like, it's just incredible.
What's the best thing about working in beauty? Like, if anybody's listening and they're like, okay, whether I want to work in media or for a skincare brand, a startup, a corporation, what's it been like for you?
Honestly, I mean, like, you get to come to work and enjoy what you do every day. And it's truly your passion. And I find it funny sometimes how on the hard days, what we're really, like, sitting down, busting our brains about is, like, the aspect of beauty is what we're working on in a day-to-day where, like, your peers or your family and friends are, like, I don't know, working in hospitals or teachers or all of that. So I guess the negative that comes into question with, like, when you say to yourself, am I really doing something with purpose or am I just like having fun? But I think that especially being in skincare and seeing it from the dermatologist lens, and I've seen it a lot in our community aspect of how the mental health aspect of skincare and your skin, and that I think that's why I like so much being in skincare. Although I love makeup and I enjoyed beauty in that sense, and I thought that's where I wanted to be, skincare has such a deeper connection.
Tell me, like, you get to interact with customers and followers of Dr. Idris. What do people say? Why is it such a mental thing? I'm curious, like, what you hear from people.
Honestly, I think it's just, like, the industry as a whole, like, being overwhelming, or, like, growing up just going to drugstores and figuring it out yourself and not having access to, having access to a dermatologist online is, like, crazy. Like, 10 years ago, that wasn't a thing. I mean, it's still halfway not a thing. So I think, like, not having to navigate that journey alone.
Yeah.
And through a brand and through the members of our team, and us just being on this team, have learned so much about skincare and skin through a dermatologist lens. It's crazy.
Okay, tell me, you personally, once you started working, now your boss isn't just your boss, they are also board certified dermatologists. Like, does she yell at you if you forgot to wear sunscreen or something? Like, what has changed about your routine since you got a job working for a dermatologist?
Honestly, like, I think I'm slow to change in the sense that, like, some of her advice, I just can't bear to take on yet. Like, I know I'm not supposed to be washing my face with a cleanser in the morning, but I have oily skin, so I can't let go of that. But I think one day I will get there.
Wait, even with oily skin, you feel like you don't need to wash, but it's just habit.
It's just a habit. Like, I can't, it's like unlearning the things that you grew up learning, right?
Like muscle memory, like I'm brushing my teeth and washing my face now on next step.
Yeah. I think, like, I did 75% of it. I adapt on my own just from, like, knowing and hearing her advice. But there's that little 25% where I'm like, I'm just never going to do that. Like, let's be real. I'm not reapplying sunscreen.
Are you wearing the visor?
It's just not cool for me. But it is cool for a lot of people in my life. So I'm glad they love it.
I'm talking about the sun visor for people who don't know. Some people are all in on the sun shields, and I'm sorry. I feel like you look like you are playing golf in the 1960s or something.
I think you either have to be really cool to pull it off, or you have to be like someone who really doesn't care. And I respect that so much because it looks cool. It looks cool on other people, but I'm just not keeping it on. Like, I like the beach.
I just got the, you know, the line prequel. I just got their bucket hat. Like, it's their summer. So it comes down so low, Tiff, that it's like, if I put it on the way it's meant to be put on, like, the level of it is down to my chin. And, like, people can't see me, like, when I'm walking around. It's so good if you're reading a book in the sun, though, because you're only looking down. But if I was, like, out on the streets wearing the sun hat, I wouldn't be able to see.
I guess it's good for giving the vibe that, like, you know, I'm not here to socialize.
I'm here to protect myself from this fiery ball in the sky.
Yeah. No, but, okay, don't get me wrong, though. I wear sunscreen every single day, but I'm not reapplying. That's just the honest truth. Unless I'm at the beach.
Yeah, outdoors all day. But it's sort of like I'm inside a cubicle 3 hours into my day at 12 o'clock. Am I going to stop and put sunscreen on? No. Sorry, I'm not either. I agree with you.
But I think we're doing something right because your skin looks amazing.
Thanks. So does yours. I do use, it's so funny because I really do use her products every day, two of them. I use the Hyper Serum and the Active Seal because there's the vitamin C, it's the vitamin C's in the Active Seal, right?
Yeah.
I can't do a regular vitamin C like a SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic. It still stings me a little bit. And that one like feels like vitamin C, but without stingy, if you know what I mean.
The vitamin C is actually my favorite, or Active Seal, of all of the five products we have too. It's been the one that like I genuinely finish so quickly. My boyfriend also loves it as well. So maybe that's probably why.
Wait, he is sneak attack taking your Active Seal.
He has his own. Everyone in my family has their own routine, parts of our routine. But yeah, just because of the fact that it's a gel moisturizer for all skin types and it has the vitamin C in it. So it's like quick 1-2, done.
I know. Sometimes I still need extra moisture as well, but you and I have very different skin types, so I could see why it would be fine on its own for you. So tell me this, like now it's your job to sort of see what every beauty brand is doing in the skincare space. You're a marketing manager, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Tiff's marketing manager now. What brands are you just like, oh, that's super cool that's come out since we last talked? Or that you just think are interesting what they're doing?
I mean, since we last talked, see, that's the interesting part. There are so many brands on a daily basis, new brands popping up every day, which is kind of, I mean, I don't think that's ever going to stop.
Do you not, Tiff? Because I feel like it's got to slow down at some point because we hear about all these new brands, but then do you ever keep track of which ones then are no longer around? I don't.
That's a good point.
I was thinking I should do a story where I'm like, in the last 5 years of all the little indie skincare brands that have launched, how many are still here? I couldn't find data on this. You're a marketer. Is there data on this?
I mean, there's a couple that have pulled out of Sephora and are no longer there. And I think that's when people find out.
Yeah, like when it makes big news, or like if a founder like Beauty Counter right now, their founder just bought it back and is like in transition to So I went to the website today actually because I was thinking about talking about the fragrances and I was like, oh my gosh, they're not even for sale right now because she's repositioning the brand. But if it doesn't make big news, it's like, I don't know, is it a fart in church? Like, you know, like it's like a little, or is it not?
No, it's really interesting. I think I have a unique perspective now coming from the marketing lens of it, where I'm more so falling in love with brands because of their marketing and less because of their products. There are a lot of brands that are on that list for me, or some of them also in tandem have great products and also great marketing. And that's why I love them. But I think I really like brands that have great marketing and I don't even probably care to ever try their products. Because I think just maybe being in it now, there's just so much.
Yeah. What are some brands that you're like, oh, that's cool what they're doing, or their packaging's good, or I like their social?
Sniff, the fragrance and candle brand. Sniff, I think, is really cool. I love their I love their assets. Crown Affair is a brand that I do actually really like their products, the hair care brand. Tower 28 is not that new, but I want to say maybe like, I don't know how new they are, but they are still pretty new. I think they just celebrated their 5-year anniversary. I love their marketing as well as their products. That's a great one. But there are so many. I mean, in the skincare space particularly, I think there's still points of differentiations for brands. So I love that. But I'm very much into hair care brands right now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you're less blonde than last time I saw you.
I am no blonde. I am virgin
hair. I can't see the ends because your hair's so long.
It's virgin hair again. However, I am rethinking, and I think you're just predicting what's been in my head lately. I do want to dye my hair again.
I swear, did we have mind meld this week? Before we got on the mic, I said to Tiff that I was like thinking about her and her, she's a part of like a dance academy and dance troupe. Look at me talking for you. And I was like, I wonder if Tiff is still dancing. And then she gets on the mic and she tells me that you've been thinking about it.
Yeah, because I miss it a lot, but I just haven't had time. And I don't want to say to myself or say it out loud that I've stopped dancing. So to hear that or to hear those words come out of my mouth makes me realize like, okay, I need to actually start again.
Once a dancer, always a dancer.
Yeah, there's also, I love that. Thank you. There's also another brand called Glaze, which is a hair, like not permanent. It's kind of like temporary hair color, I believe. Which something I wanted to try in the essence of like, do I want to dye my hair again?
Well, you have dark brown hair though. So like if you put a glaze, will you be able to see a difference on dark brown hair?
Yeah.
Like the tone
of,
change.
Like the tonality of it. I just want to do something fun.
Yeah. I could see you going like a red for a moment or something, like a dark red.
I don't know about that. But my thought is I'm willing to try it all, you know, if it's temporary.
Okay, last question before we get in the news. This is funny that this came up because I was thinking part of being part of an indie startup, I've heard this from multiple people in marketing, is like you end up being a model for the brand as well, both in social media. But Tiff, you weren't just like in social media videos. I've seen you in campaigns for the new products. Like you've had your photo taken as part of the Dr. Idris team, if you will. So if you change your hair color, what if it clashes with the color story of Dr. Idris?
Oh, you're so right. Maybe I should wait on that.
The new product that came out, the cleanser, is like a magenta-y kind of fade, right?
Yeah, she's pink.
She's pink, the new cleanser. Yeah. But like major fade's purple. You're just going to have to keep it in the color story is what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Keep it on brands.
Speaking on that, so no, I was in the first launch campaign, and thank you, Shireen, for wanting me a part of that, first of all. And second of all, like, it's actually so interesting from the brand perspective. You're not thinking of it in that sense. You're really just sitting down thinking like, okay, guys, we don't have a budget. So who in
she's
this room?
Both the marketing manager and the model because she's free.
So who in this room can be in the campaign? Tiff, you look pretty good. Let's do that.
But Shireen has some friends that are actually models too. So that helps.
No, the second campaign, we do have real models.
Yeah, yeah.
It just happens to be that because I was in the first campaign, I think the team was like the continuum of that was nice. And then, you know, thank you, Shireen, for always wanting me to be a part of that. And, you know, the history of that story. So that I really loved. Honestly, the pinch me moment was seeing it on Sephora. And I haven't posted it. I am on Sephora on the Depuffer page. If you go, I'm the model with the Depuffer.
I did see that. Were you ever in like a gondola or a printout or something like that?
No, not yet. Not yet. A printout, we did do a postcard. Oh, I have it here at my desk. Like for our D2C.
Is that you?
Yes, it is. This is me 2 years ago, though.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I haven't personally shared it like on social because I'm like, oh my God, it's me. Cringe. But, or like, you know, it's also weird being, okay, so being the model in the campaigns, right? But also my primary work is social. So I run the Dr. Idris social and Instagram account. And creating content, it's like you just skip over the creative with your own face. So I'm like, that's just weird for me to choose that photo. But then randomly, I'll show up in an email because, you know, I'm not involved in the emails. And I'm like, okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that there's people that work in the team that they would want to also be in the visuals, but I don't know.
Well, we are a growing team, but still a small team. So, yeah, but it's been fun.
All right, we're going to talk about some news and stuff. I could keep talking to you about you for hours, but if you guys haven't been able to tell, Tiff is very humble and doesn't like to talk about herself that much, which makes it hard. So we'll go talk about some news instead. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, it is time to talk news. This story blew up last week. I imagine we're still going to be talking about it as this podcast comes out because I can't stop thinking about it. I'm talking about the Youthphoria skin tint fiasco. Tiff, I am sure you saw what was going on.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, when I first told her I wanted to talk about this, she was like, yeah. So in case you aren't as up on the beauty news as we are here, Youthphoria makes something called the Date Night Skin Tint Serum Foundation. And when it first launched, the shade range was not super inclusive. They definitely needed more shades. So they came out with very quickly thereafter a deeper shade range. They really were lacking on the deep side. However, the deepest shade now, which I believe is shade 600, comes out, and it's so weird because you'll go to the product page and there's no model photo for it. So it was like, wait, what's going on? They turned it into this marketing campaign of like, yay, our deepest shade. We're so inclusive. We got this deep shade, but we can't yet find the model for it. So we're going to do a contest to find the model for it. Not really putting together that like, if you don't have the model, how did you develop the shade? Clearly humans weren't involved. So a content creator tried out shade 600 on herself, and she has a very deep skin tone. Her name's Galeria. And the darkest shade, she compared it to black paint, and guys, very similar. But a lot of people have a buzz about this. The shade is, I think, it looked like it was black paint.
It looked, if not the same, like literally exactly the same.
And what have you been seeing about this story?
So I saw actually, I think before I even saw her video, I saw Javon's video, Javon Ford. He's a cosmetic chemist. He did a reaction to her video breaking down the ingredient list of the foundation compared to the other shades of their foundations in the line. Basically, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong in this, the synopsis, the summary of the video is that they only use two pigments to create this shade, being black iron oxide and then a gray pigment. I think he re-clarified that that was also added in there, or something of a white pigment.
That just lightened the black a little bit.
Yeah, that just lightened the black a little bit or something like that. But I think to create a product for an inclusive market, I think you should have inclusivity in the development of that.
Doesn't it piss you off? I'm like annoyed by this.
what's like the cherry on top is that it's not the first time. It was technically their chance to get it right.
Yeah.
So that's really sad.
And you know more eyes are going to be on you the second time around.
I think if I can, just coming from me who doesn't know anything, but once you've experienced something like this as a brand, I think reaching out to these people and including them in the development process to get it right is like a pretty good idea. Like, why not? I think, you know, I guess they just didn't have someone in the background to be like, which is unbelievable that at every stage of the development of this process, from the product development to the marketing to launching, like that no one said, hey guys, I think maybe we didn't get this right. So let's just pause.
If an actual human wasn't there for you to test it on, like, you can't just be inclusive by making darker colors just dark. The whole point is that you want to match the human experience and the human skin tones of all humans. So, like, get some humans in the room who have dark skin, because—
Exactly.
I mean, even if you've met anyone with dark skin, it's not just black and white. There's red undertones. There's yellow undertones. It almost felt like face paint. I know they didn't mean it as a joke, like that they just were like, well, we'll just give them the darkest paint and see what happens. That's not what anybody's asking for.
But also, there are so many inclusive shade range brands that do have inclusive shade ranges on the market that you can use as benchmarks.
Yeah.
So why was that not like a thought there? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it made me feel like all the strides we've had. Because even since, when were you on our podcast? Because you were interning for us. Was that like 5 years ago?
Wow, I feel old.
Stop.
I think so, maybe. But I remember, actually, which is interesting. I wonder what you might bring up, because I wrote a paper about this while I was in FET. Is it the cosmetic chemist at L'Oreal?
Oh,
Belinda?
Belinda. Yeah.
Yes. In terms of, I think one of the projects she worked on was helping expand a shade range by finding that blue pigment that was able to like make shades that were more inclusive. Yeah, because I did a paper on this after having learned about it on your podcast.
That's so funny. I was going to bring up, when you were on the podcast, we talked about sunscreen, because you have like a medium deepish skin tone. Mm-hmm. So you were having issues still 5 years ago finding sunscreens that didn't make a white cast on you. And so we were just starting to expand foundation ranges then. Like, MAC has always had a good range. Then, of course, Fenty had a great range. And then it was a starting to be other brands. But now you can find, I even went through the page of the woman who tried on the skin tint, Galleria, and I was like, she has, there's 6 or 7 other foundations that are matching her skin tone. It's just so unfortunate that this happened with this brand. And I'm just like, you cannot stop your vigilance on trying to make the beauty industry more inclusive. Like, we, as much as like every now and then the beauty industry is like patting itself on the back, like, yeah, we're making strides. Like, if we don't keep up the work, it's like you could fall back so quickly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's just kind of sitting back and trying to understand what happened here, but there is no real good explanation.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Yeah, I agree. I even know, because I know when you worked on developing products with Dr. Idris, like, you guys have real people try them, like, clearly before they come to market.
Literally, I mean, so, you know, like I mentioned, we're still a small team, but we do have a product development person on the team now. But I got called into the bathroom just yesterday to try on a shade on my skin tone. And we were looking for people with even darker skin tones than me. And we're, mind you, we're not even working on color.
Yeah.
We're just, and I can't give away anything, we're just
trying to find things that don't make a cast.
Want to make sure that you like it just the way I like it, you know?
Yeah. And that speaks to, you just have to have the people in the room be inclusive as well as the products. Because if everybody looks one way at a brand, like, the products aren't going to know how to operate on people that don't look like that person. So yeah. Oh, the story made me so, I got so fired up. But then it was like a week later and I was like, do I still talk about it on the podcast? But guess what? I'm still thinking about it.
No, I think the listeners appreciate it too, and we'll have their own thoughts. So yeah. I think, ugh, it's good.
Tell
to
us
talk
your
about
thoughts. DM me. Okay, moving on. There's been, well, this has happened since you've been at Fat Mascara. Like, fragrance has blown up. I've gotten so into it myself here on the podcast. So has Jess, and we've been trying everything. But two lines have come out in just the last week that I wanted to bring up because they tie in skincare a little bit. So Bella Hadid's brand, which every time I read this brand, how do you say the name of this brand, Tiff?
Orabella?
Okay, that's what I say, but it's got like the weird apostrophe and then the little carrot thing over the O.
Is it just to be fancy looking? Because it's, how else would you say that?
I think it's like a trademark issue she had, so she added on some punctuation to make it more like, I don't know. But it's Orabella. So we got to see the first products from her line, and I knew it was going to be fragrance, but what she's saying is this is the world's first fragrance skincare. So the perfumes are not alcohol-based. They're based with like a moisturizing base so that when you spray them on, they're better for your skin. Why are you smiling? What's your thought?
I mean...
do we need this?
Nothing was wrong with perfumes the way they were made.
Well, so that's what I literally was thinking. I was like, wait, did anyone ask to not have alcohol? I've heard of people having scent issues, like with the allergies, with the phthalates, with the things like that, with the not knowing what's in them. But the alcohol's in a lot of stuff.
I guess I'm just curious as to why this is her target market.
Okay, marketer, tell me more.
Why she's bringing this to the table. In the sense that, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, right? Like, if you're going to launch a brand with a purpose and something that's truly niche and different for the market. But this feels like if you had to sit down and think about and look for something that's different versus like, this is something I'm really passionate about. This is something that like I need myself. And I don't know the context of this. So maybe it is.
Yeah.
Like maybe she's always looked for, maybe it is true that she's always wanted a perfume with no alcohol and then therefore wanted to create that. But anything that starts with the world's first, it's either it's not true or it's either that we don't need it.
Right. Well, that's it. So there could be like white space that nobody knew they needed this until it was invented. Like it doesn't happen often, but it could be. So every now and then I'll see a product that was like, oh my God, thank God somebody fixed that. That was the thing that needed to be fixed. This one I wasn't sure about, but I do like the idea of blending skincare and fragrance if it's done well. But then the other line I wanted to talk about that's bringing like another aspect into fragrance is Charlotte Tilbury's fragrances. So these are not skincares. These have regular traditional fine fragrances that have an alcohol base. But what she's trying to do with them is say that they will affect your mood. And so they even have science behind this. So there's five fragrances. And I know people right now are going to be like, but did you smell them? Yes. I smelled all five of them. And so the names of them are, I'm going to ask you what you think ended up speaking to me, but these are the names of them. We're doing a quiz. Okay.
I love that.
Charlotte Tilbury, Cosmic Power, Love Frequency, More Sex, Calm Bliss, and Magic Energy.
Was it More Sex? Ah! Dead.
But not because of the name,
I know.
It's not because of the name. That's the thing that got me.
She sounded the most interesting, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's my favorite smelling one. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Oh, it's like leathery and... okay, wait. I'm getting better at describing fragrances without notes. This one to me smells like a boudoir. Like just... like you're in the fanciest fireside on like a red leather chair, lounging in sequins. And it's the 1920s. This is the vibe, which is very sexy vibe. But what she's claiming with this fragrance is that they tested them on people, and depending on which fragrance it is, for example, More Sex, I pulled out the data on this one because I was like, what do people say? They did a study, 84% of people agreed More Sex, the fragrance, enhances feelings of seduction.
Is it placebo? Is it real?
That is an excellent question. I think that there was... this is not a published paper, Tiff. She's talking like Dr. Ejus's marketing manager. This is like consumer perception, and they gave them a nice free perfume. But I do think that in general, a lot of fragrances enhance feelings of seduction. Don't you?
I mean, I think that's what you put fragrance to feel sexier, right?
Some people do. Is that why you put it on?
At night.
Okay. Like if I'm going out. Yeah, but if I'm wearing something in a day to go to work, I'm not meaning to seduce people.
No.
And that's the thing. The other thing about this perfume, I really like it regardless of what its reasoning is. But because I know this data now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm worried like, wait, can I not wear
it? No, don't be worried. I think it's great that you like it regardless of like, it's a fragrance, right? So the first thing you should like about it is how it smells.
Right.
Everything else is just like extra, which is great.
Right. But it's also, I am a fragrance wardrobe person. Like I don't have a signature scent. So I choose stuff based on my mood. And this, I would still wear this if I was like on stage and had to present something and wanted to feel like powerful. Like it's a good glamorous fragrance. If I'm going out at night with my girlfriends, I don't want to seduce my girlfriends, but I want to have fun and go out at night. And it's a very like fun party. It has like black pepper and juniper and musks. And it feels very sexy and glamorous, but I'm not trying to seduce them.
I think that you can feel sexy without having, with that just for yourself.
Good point. But it is called More Sex. Well, you can have sex with yourself. That's true. The other ones are all lovely too, but that was my favorite. And so funny that you picked it because you know me. I don't know what that says about me, but it is a very nice scent. So I feel like we're going to be seeing more actually coming out fragrances that are doing more than just smelling good. Like either they have an aromatherapy benefit or a skincare benefit. We've even seen some like bases. House of Beau has like a glycerin type moisturizing base you put on before perfume to help the perfume last longer. So I'm here for it. What are you wearing these days? Do you wear perfume every day?
I think I've gotten a little bit lazy with trying new things. Like you said, you have a wardrobe of things that you like.
Yeah.
I've never been a repeat purchaser, but I have a couple that I am a repeat purchaser of, and those have just stuck.
What are they?
Lancôme Idol. I still love that one.
Oh, yes.
Like, always. I remember when I was working with you, what I wore at that time was, I think, like, Bronze Goddess from...
Is it Estée Lauder? Yeah, and the bottle is so gorgeous. Oh, that's a nice one.
I've wanted to repurchase, haven't yet. Like I mentioned, I like Sniff & Co, a couple of theirs. These days, some body mists are good.
Oh my God, the body mist blew up in the last couple of years with the Sol de Janeiro.
Yeah, like from TikTok.
Yeah.
Sol de Janeiro and then Fleur.
Which, did you try any of those?
There's a vanilla scent. I forget what it's called from Fleur. That's like really popular on TikTok. But it's a little bit much for me. I'm not like super in love with it.
Okay. Yeah, none of those have like a commonality that I can see. Like there are different fragrances.
They're different.
So yeah, I think I need to send you maybe not More Sex. I'll send you the other four so that you can try those. Okay. Yeah. All right. Last thing. Since you worked on Fat Mascara, Science Corner has music now, Tiff. I don't know if you've heard. Let's go to Science Corner. Okay, this story is a cautionary tale for everybody, but the CDC just identified the first documented cases of HIV transmitted through cosmetic needles. I know what you're thinking, it's not Botox and injectables, it was the vampire facial. So three women who were diagnosed with HIV, it happened after they got a quote-unquote vampire facial, which is when, it depends on the type of treatment that you get, but oftentimes it's your blood is withdrawn and it's spun to get the plasma, which is then spread over a microneedled face to get the benefits of that. This happened at an unlicensed New Mexico medical spa. Key point, unlicensed there. The New Mexico Department of Health began investigating this. This happened back in 2018. The reason we're talking about it now is that the CDC has been able to prove that it was because of this particular facility, which has since closed. I think it closed back in 2018. However, when you saw this news, what was your thought, Tiff? I'm curious.
So honestly, really interesting opinion from my perspective. I think had I not been working for and with a dermatologist, a cosmetic dermatologist too, my opinion would have been probably, or my first impression of this news would have been probably so different. But I'm upset that the headline didn't lead with unlicensed. Because that is the point here. Do not go to an unlicensed provider. I mean, I think what people are going to take and run with this story and what they already have is vampire facial HIV, you know, and vampire facial meaning PRP. But a similar story, I guess you probably already talked about on the podcast, which was the fake Botox story from a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Counterfeit Botox.
Yeah. Same takeaways for both of these things. Going to a licensed provider is key because you don't know what you're getting otherwise. And this is the stories that come out of it. But I feel like a lot of increased fears about the procedure and missing the point completely with the fact that they were at an unlicensed placement. And these things can happen. And that's why it's so important. And I think Dr. E just does a really good job of this. Is she doesn't repeat board certified dermatologist because she likes repeating herself. You should know who you're getting your information from the same way you should know who you're getting your procedures from.
Even more so, I would say, than injectables with sometimes called PRP facials, a plasma-rich platelet treatment. I've gotten one of these. And when I got it, it was from a board-certified dermatologist. And when they took the blood, I was just like, there's no way I would let someone take my blood from a random medi spa that like I didn't know was like a nurse practitioner a nurse or a doctor. I know there's like PAs that also can do this. Depends on the state that you're in, if they can be licensed to do certain procedures, but drawing blood has to have its own, like, I believe it's called a phlebotomist. Yeah. Like, you have to have that person on staff as well. And I remember I had to go get my blood drawn by a specialist in blood drawing and then come back to the board certified doctor to get the treatment. By the way, it's such a weird treatment. Have you ever had it?
I haven't had it, but I think I've seen it and I can't look at it.
They rolled my face with the microneedling thing. So there I am, all like holds up. You can't really see the holes. They're microscopic. But then they take your own plasma and like rub it on. And it kind of stings a little bit, which is so weird because you think it came from your body. Why is it going to sting? But I was like, okay, it must be working. I don't know what I think. 3 months later, I looked great. But I was like, is it because of that? I don't know. It wasn't so noticeable that I can say it was because of this, but I know people just want to try a new treatment and do anything to get better skin if they don't have great skin. Be careful.
It does really help with hair loss.
Oh, PRP treatments.
Yeah.
And it's a good point you bring that up because the news about this was all called quote unquote vampire facial, which you might think is a facial. It might seem like, oh, it's just another kind of facial you get from a facialist. But this is a medical treatment, like PRP therapy, and the kind that you would get to help with your hair growth. It should be done by a doctor, preferably, or else at least a licensed professional. So be careful out there, everyone.
Ask for the license. See the license.
Can I? Would that be rude? Like, does anybody ever come to Dr. Idris and be like, show me the license?
I mean, I think you should see that or somewhat find that before you even step into a practice, right?
Yeah.
Like the difference is like, you're not going to find it on Groupon. Don't get vampire facials on Groupon.
In conclusion, it's true. It's true. All right, let's go raise a wand, shall we?
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I love beauty, so I am willing to experiment when it comes to, say, makeup or new lip color. But with hair care, if I find something that actually works, I do not need to mess around and keep trying other things. For me, lately that's been Vegamore, a line designed to make your hair and scalp visibly healthier. Jess and I started using Vegamore about 10 months ago now. I've been using the Grow Serum, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but my hair is growing faster than ever. It's not just growing longer, it's thicker too. Like, people have been noticing and telling me how great it looks. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of love when people notice my hair. I use the Vegamore Grow Hair Serum and their Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner, but I have to mention that you should not sleep on their dry shampoo. It's great for in-between wash days, but it doesn't build up like some other dry shampoos, and it smells really good too. If you get one of Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials Kit or the Everyday Kit, which actually has the dry shampoo I was talking about, you can try more than one amazing product at a great savings. And when you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save even more and you never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. If you want gorgeous, healthy hair, the key is consistency, and Vegamore makes it easy. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. Give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, Fat Mascara listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/fatmascara and using the code FATMASCARA at checkout. That's Vegamore, VEGAMOUR.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR, vegamore.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA. This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on. So I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. Okay, it is time to raise a wand. So before we get into, I'm so excited to hear your raise wands and also talk to you. Since I had, I guess this was 2 weeks ago now, our guest co-host was Garrett Muntz. And he's a grooming editor for Men's Health and Esquire. And he used to love Tom Ford did a bronzing gel. They have one right now, but they had like an older version that he wanted a match for. And so many listeners have been calling in, including a makeup artist. So let's hear from a pro.
Hi, Fat Mascara. I'm calling in for a request from Garrett from last week's episode for a bronzing product for men. I actually have the perfect thing. So I am a makeup artist and I have heard about this product from another makeup artist on set recently that is used on a lot of celebrities and men. It's called the Roxanne Rizzo Bronze Glow Bronzing Mist. And what you do, you kind of just like spray it in a circle on your face and it develops slightly and you get like, you don't look orange, but it gives you a glow. And I got to try it last time I worked with my friend who had it in her kit. And I'm definitely going to be picking up a bottle. I think this will be a great product for men. And like I said, I know that a lot of makeup artists use this product on men specifically who are going to be on camera. So I know it's not exactly the same texture as the Tom Ford, but it's not a powder. So I hope that this is something that helps. Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you so much for your recommendation. I love that we have makeup artists who are listeners, that there's like hairstylists, makeup artists, doctors. Whenever we ask for like advice, I'll have like a nurse call in, or like I had a legal corner and a lawyer called in. And I was like, our listeners are so great. There's like so many people out there with like good stuff.
This is such a credible community.
Yes, that's the marketing manager way to say it. Thank you, Tiff. a credible community. You guys are a credible community. So knowing that, what can this credible community do for you?
Ooh, okay.
Do you have any homework for the fans?
I do have homework for the fans. So I think I love trying new things in the skincare beauty space, but I've gotten a little bit too comfortable with the skin tint, aka the foundation skin tint, whichever that I've been using. Because I think because when you find a brand with the right shade match as someone with darker skin tone, it kind of just like you just get comfortable using it. So guys, I'm looking for a new skin tint. Doesn't have to have SPF.
Wait, when you say this is a good point to talk about, skin tint. This has become a new term in beauty that like 5 years ago was not there.
It was probably like CC cream 5 years
ago. Okay, so but to me, like it's like, do you want a serum foundation, which is like a thin and slippery with skincare actives, or do you want a CC cream with SPF and a little bit thicker in coverage? Like what does skin tint mean to you?
I think a lot of skin tints have SPF, the ones in the market. So, I mean, that's just an addition. I'm not looking for the SPF. If it comes with it, it's great.
Okay.
The one I have been using is the Rare Beauty one. But I think in terms of the shade, it's more so where I'm looking for, you know, exact.
So you shop, does the shade match me exactly more than the formula first?
Yes.
I hear
Maybe
you.
That's a mistake.
No. I think you're onto something because I've like, say I'm like in this shade, I'm a 10, 11, 13 from the different brands. I bring them all together. If I put them on my face, I'm not going to be like, oh, which is the most moisturizing, which has the right slip or the right benefits I want. I'm going to be like, which matches perfectly is the first and foremost thing.
Yeah, I feel like because you can make anything work in terms of makeup with then throw on
but
the
you
right
can't
concealer.
Change. This goes back to our euphoria discussion. Like if the color doesn't match.
Comes full circle there, huh?
Yeah, which also comes back full circle because that product is what I think of. When you say skin tint, like, I don't think that's a foundation. I think it's going to have a lighter coverage. Am I right here? Is this what you're looking for? Mm-hmm. Okay, so something with not full coverage.
Exactly.
Okay, so light to medium and maybe some extra benefits in it because I think that's what makes it like a skin tint, not just a color product, right?
Yeah. So for any brown girls in the listener community, you got some that's your favorites. Let us know.
And that like their mid-tone range has the variances of like cool, warm, olive, whatever. Because like you could be like the medium. What shade is your usual shade? Like a medium? A medium deep? Like what do they call it?
It's like medium with like olive undertones, I want to say.
Okay, see, this is the thing. That's a hard match. I find sometimes the medium, especially with olives, are hard for people to find because it's almost like your undertones are like greenish yellow instead of the cool or the warm.
Yeah, it's definitely not cool. And then too warm will make you look like orange. But I think, you know what? There needs to be a universal shade code for like all brands. Because that's the difference. Because what one brand will call like medium, another brand will call light. And then you don't know. And then I think maybe it's just a lazy thing of like me not wanting to go into Sephora and the testers being gross to kind of figure it out myself. I'm just like, somebody else tell me. And what I usually do and what I probably should do is go to like an influencer that has my same skin tone as me and like figure out what they're using. But maybe a listener can tell me.
Well, look for a listener to tell you. But also, I agree with you on the influencer thing, except that you can't always tell through the camera or through the phone that like they might seem to have your skin tone, but then you get what they suggested and it's not quite right. But I get what you're looking for. And I especially, so we want definitely a skin tint that feels nice and whatever, but that has a really wide range of medium skin tones with especially some our olive girlies out there.
Yes.
All right. So if you have something for Tiff that you think would work, go look at a picture of her online if you want. I'm going to put one when I post this episode. Sorry, Tiff. And you can see what she looks like. Call us and tell us what you would recommend. 646-481-8182. Email us info@fatmascara.com. Okay, that's good homework. I'm going to think about it too.
Yay.
All right, now it's time for us to raise wands. I asked you for two, actually. So the first up, well, you tell me, what did you bring to raise a wand to, first and foremost?
Ooh, I didn't physically bring anything. Is that okay?
Well, bring in your mind.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, because I loved when we used to do this in the studio and you and Jess would physically bring your products and then we'd get to play. But I brought, so number one, going into summer right now, I am switching my sunscreen. Like I said, and maybe that's why I'm on the thought of switching my skin tint. But one of the sunscreens I like for the summer, and last summer I used it, I remember all summer, is the Light Saver, which is Dr. Kim. He's the other doctor in this practice, just happens to be. It's like a whipped mineral sunscreen. So like I have oily skin and it's tinted. So some days just doing that has been enough.
Wait, what does whipped mean? Like the texture of it?
Whipped, yeah. She's like, I'm going to send you one, actually. I'll buy one.
What is she like?
She's whipped. And then she goes on like, and it's not mattifying in the drying sense, but because I'm oily, I don't get like, I'm still like dewy, but it feels nice on the skin.
Does it have a blurring quality a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
That sounds nice.
So in the summer, it feels right. In the winter, it's a little bit too drying for me. I think I just
got it. I can picture it. It's good for like sweaty days.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the name again? Tell me the name again.
Lightsaver.
Lightsaver. Good name.
Yes. Number two, because I get two, right?
Oh, you can have as many as you want. You're intern Tiff, and you'll always be intern Tiff, so you're allowed.
Okay, don't knock me for being a Gen Zer on this, and
I don't like it. Are you technically Gen Z?
Am I? Because everyone calls me that, and I will be whatever they want me to be. It's okay.
You're on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp.
She's a very, very, very young millennial.
Yeah.
Or the oldest Gen Z.
Yes, exactly. Look, so I bought the Rode phone case. I bought it for marketing purposes because I was like, if this thing sells out, maybe I should have one, you know, in case down the line we got to figure out how to do something.
I got to fund my life and sell it on eBay for a lot of money to make money. Okay, no, but yeah, tell me everything.
And then it came, and then I started getting icked out over, first of all, it took weeks to come, but I got icked out by the concept of like, oh my God, do I really want this? But I put it on my phone and I've been using it. But can I tell you the only reason I think I'm still using it, other than the fact that, yes, it is convenient, but I don't love the lip gloss. And maybe if I love the lip gloss, then I would be happier. So at least then I could stand by it, but I am still using it because it's there, is that I feel like being on my phone so much, being on social media as my job, it's kind of getting arthritis in my fingers, but this is so comfortable to hold. So I'm still holding it. And it doesn't bother me because you're looking at it from your view. But remember, I'm not seeing that. So I don't care.
You don't see the rubbery back end with the lip gloss stuck in it.
And then I think in the beauty space, we're all like, we all know what it is. But then I'm in public outside of, you know, our little bubble of beauty world. And people are like, oh my God, that's so cool. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, doesn't everyone know about this already?
In our echo chamber of social media, like if you haven't seen the Rode phone case, it's like,
I guess I'm cool outside of the beauty bubble.
Here's the question. Do you always have a Rode? It only fits Rode lip gloss, clearly. But do you always have the lip gloss in the phone case?
I do, because it just, it's not cute without it.
No, it looks empty. I was also laughing because you said you have arthritis. I was like, I don't think you have arthritis.
My pinky.
But I know what you're talking about. I use a pop socket on the back of my phone.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't have the pop socket, I literally can't do work when I'm out and about or sitting on the subway, which I often do work on my phone out in the world because my hand starts to hurt from holding the phone funny. But it's weird to me that that feels like a comfortable grip, but it must be like thick and rubbery. Is that what makes it nicer?
Yeah, it's silicone.
And your thumb can still reach around to do what the thumb needs to do.
Yeah, it can. So yeah. As much as I don't want to,
raising a wand.
I'm kind of raising a wand. I'm giving credit.
You guys, it's Tiff's new segment that we're going to let her have. Kind of raising a wand. You're missing the concept, which is, no, I love it.
No, because I truly have been loving it, even though I wanted to resist.
No, that's perfect. That's right in line with when I talk about things. I'm always like, I didn't want to like this, but I do. So what else? I will give you free rein. Is there anything else you want to raise a wand to?
You know, in the body space lately, I think that's my favorite place to try out new things because I have such sensitive skin. So I'm always down to try like a new body wash or a new moisturizer or something like that. But favorites I'm still loving is like not so much the Sol de Janeiro's anymore, but Necessaire. I think they've launched some pretty cool things in the last couple of launches. The body peel is actually really nice, although I never thought like I would want to use that consistently.
What's happening with the body peel? Are we just talking about an exfoliating lotion?
It's basically an exfoliating serum for your body.
Because no peel action actually
happens.
It's
not a peel. They call it the body peel.
That would be confusing to me if I wasn't like a beauty editor. Like a body peel, I think I put it on and then I have to peel it off or my skin peels off.
Yeah, well, that's not what it is. It's pretty much just an exfoliating acid for your body.
So it might help with like KP or like chicken skin,
ingrown hairs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Stretch marks and a long, maybe minimal.
Okay. Yeah, put some actives in your body care. I like that. Okay, raise a wand to all of those. I want to raise a wand. Actually, is it my turn or you have more?
It's your turn.
Okay.
I want to hear about what you're loving.
I'm raising a wand. First of all, we love Katie Jane Hughes. Excellent content creator, makeup artist, longtime friend of the pod. But I was watching a video of hers the other day that like made me rethink the way I apply foundation completely. So what she said was she does like celebrity makeup. And she said, if you're using a foundation brush and you wipe it onto your face and you see the foundation go on, that means you didn't work the foundation into the brush enough. So what she suggests doing is putting the foundation on the back of your hand and then sort of buffing it deep into the bristles. And part of me was like, you're going to lose all the product. It's going to disappear. Like it's going into my hand now instead of onto my face. She says no. And I'm like, all right, trust the process. So it's on the back of my hand and I buff it into the foundation brush. And then when you start applying it onto your face, she doesn't want you to see the color going on. Like the same way when you're applying blush, you don't see like a pink streak going on, but as you gradually keep
it, it builds.
Right. Like good blush application, you're like, am I applying? And then you step back and you're like, yes, it's lightly glowing up. So she wants you to do that with your foundation. And I was like, this is going to take a while. So I was like, let me just trust the process. I started doing it. I did one half of my face like she did on the video. And she said, and then if you think you need more coverage, repeat the process. So I ended up using more foundation than I normally would to put on my foundation. However, I think it really lasted longer, and it definitely had more of a skin finish, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'll have to try it.
I think it might be the secret of why makeup artists, like when they do your makeup, it just looks better lasts longer. Yeah, because when I put on foundation, I put it on in like 17 seconds. It's like swipe, swipe, mush, 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 bye. And she's like making me work for it.
I mean, it's an artistry for a reason, right? I think she's got the skills.
Yeah. And when I started thinking about like blush, I was like, that does make sense because the color's going on, but it's going on in such a sheer veil.
When you said that, that's when it clicked in my head and it made sense. But I will say, though, don't knock your makeup skills because I feel like makeup always comes out the best when you're not trying, when you're just going at it, right?
Girl, that is 100% true. How many times have you been going out and you're like, I'm going to do my eyeliner and you're going to do like a winged liner and that is the night.
The longer you try, the worse it looks.
This is the only universal truth and beauty for everyone. And I'm going to lay it down right now. If you're trying to do your winged liner and thinking about it and really trying and doing technique, it's going to not work.
Just don't think about it.
Every time I've just like gone in with the pen, like, ta-da, this is the best time.
Exactly.
Look, my wedding day when I was doing my eye makeup, it was the worst eye makeup I had ever done because I was thinking about it too hard, you know?
But I bet you if you did it in like 5 minutes and just throw on a face.
I ended up washing my face and just being like, pretend you're going to work and just do your makeup. And then I added like a tiny bit more eyeliner and it looked so much better. Yeah, when you just think about it too hard, it never comes out good. You're right. Don't knock my skills. But the foundation, I do like the technique. And if you care to know, this brush is really good that I've been using. And what is it called? Oh, it's Anissa. And it's the Pinnacle Skin Brush. It's like a triangle, but like with buffy bristles. I really liked it.
It looks like it feels good. You looked like you were enjoying that.
Of course I was. I was enjoying it because beauty is fun, isn't it? We have fun. Did you have fun?
It was great. I don't want to leave you.
I know. It's a fun hangout, too. I hope people enjoyed listening in on it because truly it was just a date for me and Tiff. And if you were here for it, that's good. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, everybody, go get your beauty sleep. We will see you soon.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.